The last communist president of Czechoslovakia, Gustav Husák, became the symbol of the spineless regime that ruled the country after the Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia. Himself a political prisoner in the 1950s, he oversaw the persecution of opposition activists in the 1970s and 80s. An intellectual who supported the reforms of the Prague Spring turned into the Soviet Union's lackey. In this edition of Czech History, Jan Richter looks at the life of Czechoslovakia's last communist president, Gustav Husák, on the 99th anniversary of his birth.
Slubujem na svoju čest a svedomie.
The year is 1975. The place is Prague Castle. Gustav Husák is being sworn in as the president of Czechoslovakia, 7 years after the Soviet invasion of the country. The 65-year-old Slovak politician reached the top of the power pyramid and was to remain there in the dual position of the Communist Party leader and the country's president for the next 12 years. Gustav Husák became the face of what Czechs know as the normalization, a period which saw the tightening of communist rule following the defeat of the Prague Spring of 1968. His picture hung in every classroom in Czechoslovakia, and his New Year's addresses, delivered year after year in an odd mixture of the Czech and Slovak languages, were a ritual that reflected an overwhelming atmosphere of resignation. Historian Jan Adamec is the editor of Prague Cold War, a website dedicated to the history of the 20th century.
This was kind of an indication that the normalization, this cleansing process, is over. It's done, and now we have to build socialism. He was a former representative. He visited countries. He was kind of a face of Czechoslovakia. He strictly obeyed what the Soviets wanted in the foreign policy and also in the inner party policy. This was kind of a 10 years of political stagnation, and personally, it was a kind of a loneliness for him. The contemporaries who were around him testified that he was quite alone in the Prague Castle, sitting in the office, not to say doing practically nothing, but the practical politics was over.
Handpicked by Moscow to replace the reformist communist leader Alexander Dubček and to bring his country back under full domination of the Soviet Union, Gustav Husák was not an obvious choice. Jailed by his party for 10 years in the 1950s, he supported the reform efforts of his fellow Slovak Dubček. Historian Zdeněk Doskočil explains what made the Soviets choose Husák.
Oni se přesvědčili, že Husák přes tu proreformní retoriku.
They found out that despite his pro-reform rhetoric of 1968, he remained an orthodox communist whose ideas of the regime did not deviate from the Soviet model, and they knew he respected Soviet dominance in the Eastern Bloc. But it was also important that he had been a victim of the political trials of the 1950s, which was to demonstrate that even people like him could again play a role in society. They thought it would calm public concerns that the persecution of the 1950s would return, because Husák experienced it firsthand. At the same time, his pro-reform past was to placate the intellectuals. It was also good for the Soviet leadership, which could use his activities in 1968 to keep him under control.
A zároveň zase pro Sověty to bylo výhodné, že Husákovi mohli tuto minulost předhazovat a tím ho držet uzdi.
In April of 1969, Gustav Husák replaced Alexander Dubček as the leader of Czechoslovakia's Communist Party. Some people thought he would try to defend some of the liberties of the Prague Spring, but Husák was fully aware that was not the way to go. After the brutal repression of rallies protesting against the Soviet occupation, Husák launched extensive purges in all sectors of the society. A year later, he gave a famous speech calling for purity in the Communist Party.
Nech odpadne, čo je kolísavé. Nech odpadne, čo je oportunistické.
But why did Gustav Husák become the chief collaborator with the occupiers? Zdeněk Doskočil believes he had illusions about his role as the head of the new regime and thought the Soviet would, sooner or later, leave him room to maneuver.
Husák v podstatě neměl příliš ujasněnou nějakou představu koncepční změn.
Husák did not have a very clear idea of the changes he would carry out. I think he knew he would have to subdue any opposition to the Soviet occupation and hoped that in return he would be able to pursue his own policies at home. but for a variety of reasons that space never opened up for him, as Moscow was not interested.
Some of the reasons why Husák never succeeded in pursuing more autonomous policies had to do with his political style, according to Zdeněk Doskočil, who says he was very strong at the time of crisis, but lacked perspective and strategic concepts.
Husák byl politik pro, řekněme, já bych to nazval, byl politikem dynamického období.
Husák was a dynamic politician and did his best at times of great struggles. That's why he shone in the 1940s and then again in 1968 and 69, when the situation was changing from one day to the next, and it was necessary to react swiftly. But when the turbulence passed and instead it was time for strategic concepts, Husák failed because he was not that type of politician.
Husák's background was different from many other prominent communists in Czechoslovakia. He joined the party as a law school student in Bratislava. While most of the party leaders in Bohemia and Moravia were arrested during the war, Slovak communists were able to operate legally in the independent Slovak state, a satellite of Nazi Germany. Husák's rise to power began during the Slovak national uprising. He was the author of a memorandum suggesting Slovakia should become part of the Soviet Union. But that did not spare him from the purges of the 1950s following the communist seizure of power. As a leading member of the Slovak branch of the Communist Party, he was arrested in 1951 and put to a showcase trial as an alleged bourgeois nationalist. He endured harsh torture while in jail, but was one of the few political prisoners who never gave in, which saved his life, according to Zdeněk Doskočil.
The fact that they didn't break Husák saved his life, and the lives of others who were tried with him. When he came back from prison, he was still a communist at heart, but in Prague he was still seen as an enemy, so he worked as a manual laborer and was under the discreet surveillance of the secret police.
A byl pod diskrétním dohledem státní bezpečnosti.
Less than 10 years later, Gustav Husák rose slowly to the top of the communist hierarchy. After he became president in 1975, it was the regime he represented that put opposition activists in jail, including his successor at Prague Castle, Václav Havel, who between 1979 and 1984 spent 4.5 years in prison. Jan Adamec from the Prague Cold War website project says Husák saw imprisonment as part of the political struggle.
For him, there was nothing bad to jail, for example, the enemies of the state or the anti-communists or the people who were against the communist idea. His imprisonment he viewed as a mistake which needed to be corrected, but there's nothing bad with the communist regime, nothing bad with the communist idea. The imprisonment was harsh. He spent several years alone in the cell, but he didn't view it as something which was unjustified in the sense to use jail or imprisonment against the enemies of the state.
Gustav Husák was deeply shaken by the tragic death of his second wife, who was killed in an airplane crash in 1978. Political stagnation, the torpidity of the society, along with his deteriorating health, made him little more than a figurehead of the communist regime that was slowly crumbling. In 1987, he was replaced as the leader of the party by the bizarre character Miloš Jakeš, who almost immediately became the source of many popular jokes, and who hardly anyone took seriously. Historian Zdeněk Doskočil says Gustav Husák was despised, but not hated.
Husák nebyl oblíben, byl spíš pohrdán a raději na něj hladili, řekněme, dosti...
Husák was not popular by any means. I think he was despised and people viewed him with bitterness. But unlike some of the hardliners like Bilak, he was a man of certain intellectual qualities, and I think that in the eyes of many people, he was not a completely negative figure.
V očích většiny lidí zcela černá figura.
People who lived through the normalization period will probably remember Gustav Husák as a detached old man with thick glasses, reading his New Year's addresses at his office with a clock in the background. There is in fact a popular YouTube video in which parts of the opening sentences from his various addresses are put into one phrase, which still makes sense and could be delivered in any year during his long, if lonesome, term as president. But in Slovakia, his legacy is seen very differently. It was under his term that Czechoslovakia became a federation, and the Slovak society saw its living standards very much improved in the 1970s and 80s. Jan Adamec again.
Husák means much more for Slovaks than for Czechs. There's much more myth and much more prejudices about Husák within the Slovak society. I think for Czechs, Husák is a more symbol of a normalization and the change of opinions after the Soviet invasion than anything else. But for Slovaks, there is more dimensions. There is this allegedly martyrdom defending the Slovak interests, and then it is the case of federalization, and then it is, I would say, it's pride than a poor boy who was born in a very poor conditions managed to get to become a president of Czechoslovakia.
But at the same time, Jan Adamec says young historians and researchers, unaffected by their personal experiences from the regime of denormalization, see Gustav Husák from a different perspective.
I think there's one trend which was visible from 2009 and when it was more visible after the funeral of Václav Havel. This is kind of a reconsideration of the years after 1968 to 89. This is say that the picture becomes more diverse. It's not so much black and white as it was in the 90s. Like this communist evil and the suppressed, fearful society. But the picture is really much more colorful, and there are a variety of colors in this picture.
Gustav Husák resigned as president on the 10th of December 1989, 19 days before parliament elected Václav Havel as his successor. Before that, he met some of the opposition leaders for the first time when he appointed them as members of the new post-communist government. Gustav Husák died 2 years later in his native village of Dubravka, outside the Slovak capital.
That edition of Czech history by Jan Richter.